It is a joy to be here tonight. I love Christian schools. Brother Richardson's been how many years?
29.
I believe this is our 33rd year that we finished. We went through a fire getting our Christian school. Many people are not aware of that, but back when we started our Christian school, we wound up in the court for about 4 years. And fought for the privilege to have a Christian school. And I cannot begin to tell you the value that our Christian school has been to our church and our community. And I've got a lot of great workers in church that graduated from our school. I was reminded my wife there just a moment ago, in the last... Eight years, we've had 7 boys surrender to preach. 4 of them are from our church, or 3 of them are from our church, and 4 of them are from other churches that have sent some of their children to our school. And all 7 of those students are preacher boys, are out of our school. All 7 of them. And so... It'd be worth it to me if we just had 1 of them. But that is a blessing, and I appreciate this good group up here. They're nervous, I can tell that. They probably want me to preach about 3 hours so the nerves wear off. Night I graduated, the guy didn't have a watch, and I don't think he had a calendar because he went on and on and on. I don't know what he said. All I was interested in is getting my diploma. But I do have a few words I believe will help these young people. And I want to use a passage from the book of Joshua. In fact, some of you young people have kind of mentioned the thought that I would be speaking on for a little while here tonight. Because I want to show them some things about the journey ahead. It'll be a good journey if the Lord's in the midst of it. Now, if he's not in the midst of it, it'd be pretty shaky for you because the world is not getting any better, and things have changed a lot since we began way back yonder years ago. And so I want to read a passage from the book of Joshua chapter number 3, and we'll start with verse number 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Now they're getting ready to pass over Jordan. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it." Now I'll come back to that phrase in just a moment here. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Now I want to use verse number 3 and 4 especially. For my thoughts, especially the phrase in verse number 4 where it states, "Ye have not passed this way heretofore." Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that you'd help us to impart a truth to these young people that are going out now from school, and they're going out into the world. They'll be seeking jobs. They'll be seeking new avenues of service. They'll be looking for ways to open up before them. And I pray, Lord, that in the midst of all of it, that the hand of God would guide them in every decision. Bless the reading of your word now. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me explain a little bit this passage, because Israel had come out of Egyptian bondage. They didn't know what way they were going. And so in order to provide them leadership, God said, "I will put up in the clouds, a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. The pillar of fire will guide you by night. The cloud will guide you by day. He said, now when that pillar of fire or cloud moves, then you start taking down your tents and you follow after that cloud. They did this for 40 years. They had to make no decisions like that on their own because God made it for them. He said, if the cloud lays there a day, you stay a day. If it stays a week, you stay a week. If it stays a month, or if it stays a year. And later on, he gives you a history of how many times they moved and where they moved to. And finally, they come to the brink of Jordan River. Now, they're ready to pass over into the promised land. And so the Lord, here Moses is dead and Joshua's come on the scene. And Joshua said, now, get ready because we're going to lodge here tonight and then we're going to pass over Jordan. And he said in verse number 3, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Now he's given them one last occasion when the priests will go out ahead of the children of Israel. They're bearing the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. And he said, when it gets out about 2,000 cubits, about a half a mile ahead of you, you take off behind it. You follow it. Go after it. Man, I kind of like that phrase, go after it. That's what you young people need to do in your life. Go after it. Don't be satisfied with where you are tonight. Go after God. Go after the things of God. And he stated that there'll be that space, don't come near to it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. And so I want to speak to you just a little bit on the journey that's ahead of you. You're just getting started good. You've not arrived yet. You've arrived at one point. But that's not the end. That's not the final verdict of the journey. And so God tells Joshua, get the people ready and go after the Ark of the Covenant. Now when you get to studying this, this passage has an implication of what their past has been. It has an implication of what their present is, and then it has an implication of what prospects are out there ahead of them. And I want to deal with the past a little bit here because, you know, 12 years are past for you, 12 years of school. You've gone through the first all the way to senior. And you have a past behind you. Sometimes when I was in school, I hated to remember my past. I had so many little ups and downs. Some of you young people didn't grow up like I did, but you know, when I was in school and I got a spanking, it meant I got one when I was at home. So I remember one year getting 16 of them. 8 at school and 8 at home. Things have changed a little bit since then. And so I don't like to bring up that part of the past real a whole lot. But let me just say something about their past. Israel's past had been a failure. They had spent 40 years wandering in a wilderness. And I kind of believe this. When people disobey God, they wind up wandering in their life. They wind up kind of going around in circles. They never have a goal or an aim in their life. They seem to be settled down. I laugh sometimes about some of our students around our area that on a Friday night they're real, real busy. They pull in at McDonald's and they circle around it a couple of times, and then they'll pull out and go over to Wendy's and circle around a few times, and then go down to Hardee's and circle around a few times. They're going around in circles. Getting nowhere, but they're doing a lot of driving and enjoying the night, but they don't seem to have an aim there. Well, here in Israel's life, there was a failure. Now, it started, and I believe this is where all failures start. It starts with a failure of faith. Now, they had an opportunity to enter into the promised land. In fact, somebody suggested, let's send some men over there to spy out the land. And they sent 12 men to spy out the land. 10 came back with one report, and 2 came back with a negative report. And right here's how the report came. Now, listen at it. Now get this. This is important. 10 said, we are not able. 2 said, we are well able. Now you get the difference there. 10 came back with a negative, unbelief, didn't have faith in God, didn't understand that God would provide their ability. And 2 men came back and said, oh, we're well able. Don't worry about it. God will help us. Even the inhabitants of the land are afraid already. And so they didn't have faith in God. The book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews. Amen. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 2 and 3 and 4, talks about the fact that they entered not in because of unbelief. Unbelief held them back. Now, it's a good time for you young people to ask yourself the question, what can I do? What can God do through me? What can I do through God? Because it's a question of faith. Their past was a failure of faith in God. And then I noticed something else about their failure. It was a fleshly failure. You see, they began to depend upon flesh instead upon faith in God. I've noticed this, you know, way back yonder, 1964, I started preaching the gospel when I was about a 19-year-old boy. Been preaching all these years, and I've noticed that almost every failure in life has something to do with flesh. Flesh cannot believe God. Flesh cannot trust God. Flesh can't even be trusted at all, because the old flesh, the Bible so many times talks about the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And so they got a part of the way, and here's what flesh said. Now listen to what flesh said. Now remember, it was a lack of faith, but look what flesh said. Flesh said, hey, we need us some gods that we can see. Let's make us some gods that we can see. Now it seems to me like if somebody parted the Red Sea and you didn't see him, and you waded through on a dry ground and got over on the other side safe and sound, seems to me like you don't have to see God. Just a mere fact of what he does and what he's done. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Every time you look around, you see the evidences of God. You see the evidences of what God has done. But they wanted something that they could see. And friends, you can't see God. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so they had a failure of flesh, and then as a result of that, their families failed. How many, many times in that wilderness journey, their families were a result of their lack of faith and their lack of trust in God. And so when they come to this point and God says to them, you've not been this way before. All they had to look at was what was past. Now they had some good things in the past. There were some great things in the past. But you see, they come to the present here. It's where you are. This is where all of you are at this moment. This is your present. And he says, now you have not passed this way heretofore. Now what's he saying there? He said, you're leaving the wilderness now. Some of you probably couldn't wait till this night. I couldn't wait for it. And then I didn't know what to do after I got it. There I was. Couldn't wait to get there, leaving the wilderness. Yeah. Boy, if I get out of here, if I graduate, and all these big plans, and it's nothing wrong with plans. But you know, things sometimes don't always happen like we planned them. And so it's good if you let God plan them for you. And so they come to the present. They're leaving the wilderness behind. 40 years in the wilderness. I think it might be like something like this. Boy, what are we going to do now? All we've known is wandering out here, taking tents down, following the cloud, following the pillar of fire. But now we've come to this point in our life. What do we do now? You see, you're in the now. Now, let me share this something with you young people, all of you, all you that have been a part of Grace Baptist Schools. You owe a great debt to your parents. Going to a Christian school is not something the government pays for. That comes out of pockets of someone that loves you, sacrificed for you. I cannot believe how many times I've had someone come to me and say, "Brother Broughton, could I do something? Could I clean the church or mow the grass just so I could send my my child to a Christian school?" And so they've sacrificed. Could you imagine how much money and how that money could have been used in different places and different things? This is part of where you are at this present time. You've gotten to here because a mother worked or a dad worked. You've gotten here because somebody at Grace Baptist Church spent a whole lot of money building a whole lot of buildings and doing a whole lot of work to cause you to come to this point in your life. You're here now. See, they had a present here, and their present, they had just come out of the wilderness, and they've got Jordan River in front of them. Now, Jordan is the obstacle. How do we get across Jordan? You're there now. You're getting ready to cross over Jordan into a new area of your life. And sometimes it's a little bit scary. Just be honest with you. It's a little bit scary. I've got little grandchildren. I've got a little 4-year-old granddaughter. And I'm wondering what she'll face in another 20 years. What will she be facing? And I want to say, we had somebody talk about this being the guidebook. I sure hope she learns to trust God and depend upon God. Because we're going to need some help. That they're coming to Jordan River. And you know when they come to Jordan River? They come when it's out of its banks. It's overflowing. Way out of its banks. Some have read that when the Jordan overflowed, it sometimes was a mile across to get across Jordan. And you're coming to a crossing of Jordan. You're going out into a world where our world is head over heels in debt. Jobs are scarce. Times are hard. Families have lost their homes and their houses. Every day I pick up my paper and there I counted in our daily paper here today, I counted 28 houses are up for commissioner sale. And every month it's that many or more because you're going out into a hard world. But you know what? If God can cross Red Seas, Jordans won't be any trouble to Him. The God that can rain down manna and feed millions for years and bring rivers out of a rock of water and quail to eat for 40 years, the God that can do that, it's no trouble for Him in your life. Believe Him. Just believe Him. You see, they're getting ready to cross Jordan, and now they're entering into the Promised Land. Now, when they enter in the Promised Land, it's going to be a little bit different. Manna's going to quit, cease. All the leadership, the cloud, it's going to disappear. They're entering the promised land. And the Bible says that when they enter in, the manna ceased and they had to eat of the old corn of the land. They had to start making it on your own, on their own. And you young people are at that place now. You're at the place where you have to start making it on your own. I'd hope none of you be dependent on mom when you're 40 years of age. I hope that's true. Amen. I tell my son-in-laws, make sure you don't get hurt real bad because my daughters might have to come home. You provide for them now. All right? But anyway, let me just say that they're entering into the promised land. Oh, how much promise there is out there for all of you. It's a land of promise. Thank God. I believe, now I personally believe the best is yet to come. Now we're going through some hard times, but I'm a very optimistic person. I believe the Lord is still on the throne. The Lord is still in charge. That nothing has taken God by surprise. That there's nobody over in the promised land that God can't take care of. There's no obstacle over there that He can't handle. And so God tells us that even though the journey may be a little hard ahead of you, thank God you're going over into a new phase of your life. All right, now, that brings us to our prospects. He said, you have not passed this way heretofore, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. He's talking about the future here. All right, now, I know this. I know that when they cross over into the promised land, I understand that there are enemies there. Great enemies. Enemies that had not risen up before. Old enemies. Enemies that tried to keep them from going forward. Enemies that hindered them along the way. Well, some of you, people didn't think you would last. They didn't think you'd make it this far, Brother R. I've got a Christian school, and I've seen some of theirs, and I've told my principal they'll never make it. They'll just never make it, and it fools me when they do. And I'm glad they make it. Thank God for that. I'm glad they had something down inside that just made them go on for God and go on with their life through all the difficulties and failures. You're going to have to fight this old thing of flesh, and you're going to have to fight the world, and you're going to have to fight the devil. They're old enemies, but they always put a new face on. And they come up with new ideas and new plans. And so you young people have got that ahead of you. But you know what you've had for a few years? You've had some instructions. You've got a promise tonight that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. The Bible says in the book of Revelation 12 that they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, when the devil gets on you, start testifying. Amen. When he starts telling you you can't do it, tell him what God can do. When he tells you that you're going to be a failure, tell him that your God is a success. When he says that you're weak, tell him that the Lord is strong. I believe the first verse that my wife used to teach in her little third and fourth grade class was, I can do all things. I can do all things, not some things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I've run upon some of her little students that are grown now, and I said, do you remember what Miss B taught you? And they said, yes, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, and you can. You see, your prospects are wonderful. Now, let me say something about they had to confront enemies, but here's the most important thing about crossing over Jordan. They claimed their inheritance. They had something there. You know, isn't this a wonderful thing that God told them that wherever you put your feet, it's yours. Look up to the sky, and if you can count the stars, that's how I'll bless you. Look at the seashore, count the sands of sea. That's how I will bless you. He wants them to claim what's theirs. Now, you know, I've got three children. And you know, let me tell you parents about this. Don't live your life through your children. Don't think that your children has to be what you want them to be. They've got a life of their own. Now, you have a parent here wants their children to be successful and live for God. But how many times I've seen parents try to cram down their children what their goals were for their life and they didn't meet. And you're going to confuse them because it's going to tell them that their life is only what you want it to be. Their life needs to be what God wants it to be. I'd just soon to have somebody be a plumber or a taxi driver. That's a holy job if God's in it. Are you understanding that? Whatever God lays before you, you claim that for God. He puts a burden upon your heart for a work for the Lord. You claim that because that's your inheritance. Whatever you put your foot upon, he said it's yours. And so Israel began to go through the promised land. Not been that way before. But God promised that if you'll follow me, I'll help you to claim your inheritance. You know, it'd be a wonderful thing if somewhere down the road, Brother Richardson calls me and said, Brother Broughton, you remember those 9 seniors? Here's what they're doing. Their lives are accomplishing something. They've made something of their life. Don't be one of those casualties that fall by the wayside. You see, the journey, God has something for you. Ask Him, pray. Some of you might know already what God has ahead of you for the moment, but pray and seek God's face. And get this book and get it in your hand and read it. And hide it in your heart. I believe Brother R. brought that verse out. Hide it in your heart that you might not sin against God. And this book will never lead you astray. I've never known anybody to follow the precepts of this book that God didn't have blessings for them. You've not been this way before, so make the best of it. You only got one. Only got one. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, tonight I pray that the Holy Spirit would help each one of these young people. I'm glad, Lord, that the journey ahead will be just as great as their yieldedness to God. Lord, use them. Bless them. Put your Spirit upon them. Put your Spirit within them. Lead them each step of the way. Help them to be yielded. Help them to have faith. Trust God. Ever turn, ever fork in the road, ask God's will. Help them to do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One last little saying. I had this, somebody told me, I was on a history tour, Baptist history tour last week, and a man came up to me, and he said, I've learned something in life. He said, with what devotion you do anything, any one thing, will be the same devotion that you'll do everything. There's a lot of truth in that. If you're slipshod in one thing, you might be slipshod in another. So do all things for the glory of God. Amen. Brother Richardson.